It's retro gaming night and I'm feeling right. It's retro gaming night, oh what a night.
Oh what a night.
Hello? Oh, come in. Take a seat. I was just about to play some games. It's always nice to have the retro gaming community in here. I'm just going to put the tape on, so sit down and we'll play some games now.
Hi everyone and welcome to episode 60 of the Retro Asylum podcast. This week I'm your host, Anthony, aka Uniforex, and we're going to be taking a quick rundown of 10 games I used to play on my Acorn Electrum back in the day, that being around 1983 to 1984. Yeah, I'm pretty old. Well, not that old really, but what does amaze me sometimes is the number of retro gamers who play age-old games from around the same era and yet appear to be incredibly young, maybe in their early 20s. Either they're incredibly young-looking or their dads own the systems and they've been educating their kids really well. Well, I guess I'm the same. I have a six-year-old who knows what an Auric Atmos is, I guess, although he's more interested in it for its striking colours rather than the games that it can play. Talking about age though, someone on Twitter sent a tweet just the other day saying it's 22 years since Freddie Mercury died. 22 years! I remember hearing the news like it was yesterday, and that really makes me feel like I'm getting on a bit. Anyway, let's not dwell on it, because let's be honest, we all have our internal age, the age that we actually feel, and if anyone asks, I'm 23. Right, let's talk about what we've got lined up for this edition. Oh no, one thing before we do, don't forget the news from the last episode that the Slightly Magic Kickstarter is currently running and Colin needs your help to make it a reality. Any small amount of funding helps and it's brilliant to see another developer giving it a go and try to bring another old title back to life on different platforms. I've backed it and I wish them the best of luck. Okay, so the rundown for the show will be as follows. First, we'll have a quick look at what I've been playing recently and your chance to guess what it is before I say it, because I'll introduce the titles with some music from the games first. I'm sure you all love the guessing games. And next up, we'll start the rundown through some Acorn Electrum games that I played in my youth. They're not really in any significant order and they're not necessarily the best games on the platform at all. Well, one of them is, but really they're just ones that I remembered first when thinking about the show, and so ones that I played most often. Halfway through we'll break for the site news and wait for it, yes, one lucky listener is going to win themselves a ZX Spectrum. I've tried to persuade Andy that we should just scrap this competition, to be honest, and he should have just let me have it, but he was having none of it. Well, yeah, to be honest, I'm not bothered, you know, because a specky is not a specky unless it's packing rubber. Alright, maybe that's sour grapes on my part. Damn, I hate these staff members need not apply rules. But seriously, good luck, and you'll find out who the winner is shortly. Obviously, then we'll finish the final five countdown in my Electrum games. And lastly, I have a few pieces of music to play, but we'll find out about that when we get to it. So, let's begin. Okay, so what have I been playing lately? Well, I've been playing lots of retro games of late, but the highlight of those that I've played most recently has got to be a gem of an Amiga game that I somehow missed out on back in the day. Before I go into the details about the game, I did say we'd have a listen to some music to get us going, and this first track is from the game in question. It's an absolute corker of a track, and quite how I missed out on this game, I don't know, but back in the day, if you didn't see the magazine issue that featured it, or you didn't hear about it from a friend, then you probably were unlikely to come across a lot of the games. Tell you what, sit back, enjoy the music, and see if you know what it is. We're largely covering the Acorn Electron in this episode, and although a brilliant computer, it wasn't best known for its sound capabilities, and definitely not for its music. So the show will be scattered with music from other systems too. I hope you enjoy this one. An excellent intro track there, and if you're thinking it has shades of Turrican about it, then you aren't far wrong. This is the title music from an excellent Amiga game, Jim Power in Mutant Planet, and it was produced by the brilliant Chris Hulsbeck, and definitely has his signature sound going on. The game is equally as good, and was published by Lariciel in 1992. You know, I knew I'd heard the publisher's name before, because they were big publishers on the Oric, where they started out. Now, I played this game first on the Super Nintendo, on the Super UFO cart, and it was a Twitter user that pointed me to the Amiga version. I'm so glad that they did, because I think the Amiga version is better. Not to say that the SNES version isn't any good, but it's incredibly fast, and I found it a lot harder to play than the Amiga version. It has to be said that the SNES version's graphics are actually more colourful, and the parallax scrolling on it is insanely fast, but the Amiga's graphics have a unique style of their own, and both are really, really good. I've not seen a version of it on any other system, so if it is available on other systems, I'd like to hear about it from people on the Retro Asylum forums or on Twitter. I've only just started getting into the game, and it's pretty hard. It's basically a horizontal scrolling platform slash shooter from the outset, where you must run and jump across platforms and gaps, collecting various keys to open the doors as you move through the level. You've got to avoid all sorts of obstacles, such as guards, people throwing barrels, and winged creatures, and lots of other monsters, including what seems like a giant ogre with a long stretching neck. I'll have to play it some more, as further levels seem to promise more varied gameplay, such as a top-down shooter section, so I've read, and varied gameplay throughout, so maybe I'll touch about it more in a future podcast. However, if you haven't seen this game at all, I highly recommend that you get it, play it on the real system or under emulation. It's a seriously good game and the music is amazing. I just couldn't believe that I'd missed this game the first time around. So that was Jim Power in Mutant Planet. For a long time, I've been trying to remember the name of a little platform game I once played on the Amiga, which came from a cover disc. Recently, whilst going through the games on the SD card in my Amiga, I stumbled across it again. This is another game which has some absolutely brilliant music, and I thought it was a public domain title. Public domain, for those that don't know, is basically software that's been produced by people and put onto disc and was then distributed for free to anyone who wanted it. Although you had an intermediary who would actually distribute the software, and they were known as public domain libraries. Whether you wanted discs full of samples to use for ProTracker and Med when you were writing your own music tracks, or whether you wanted demo scene productions or games, you could get them from a public domain library. And obviously you could freely swap them with each other as well. They were free to swap with no legalities whatsoever. I know we all swapped our games as well. Well, very naughty. But anyway, I've read online that it was actually published by MC Publications and came out in Amiga Mania magazine. Well, regardless of its origins, I'm just going to start playing some music from the game and we'll see if it jogs any of your memories and see if you can guess what the game is. The game whose title had eluded me for quite some time is called Crazy Sue Goes On, and it's an excellent free game. By persons unknown to me, they list themselves in the game only by nicknames. Again, this is another game where you must run through a horizontal scrolling play area, running up and down ladders and jumping across platforms, and collecting different items whilst dodging the nasties that are throughout the game. You play as a little girl, funnily enough, called Sue, and she runs along with her hair tied in a ponytail, bobbing up and down as if she has no care in the world, despite the fact that she's in the darkest of places and can be harmed at any time. The aim of the game is to find her teddy bear that has been stolen by the Mistress of Death, and involves making your way through four non-linear levels to make it to the final battle. Along the way, you have to collect time scrolls to keep time going, as you play against the clock that's obviously counting down constantly as you run along. This is actually the second game in the Crazy Sue series, and I have yet to play the first. Graphically, the game is really nice, although there isn't much in the way of background graphics. It's mainly down to the foreground sprites and the platforms and ladders themselves. But even still, it's a lovely little game that, as I say, I got for free on a magazine, and the music, as you can hear, is brilliantly produced. It's a great little game, and another one that I'd really recommend you playing, either on your actual Amiga, if you've got one, or on emulation. So there's a couple of games that I've been playing recently, and to be honest, I've been playing loads more. I've been having a lot of fun playing NES games on the Nexus 7 tablet. The emulator on there, Nostalgia NES, is absolutely brilliant on Android, and you can pick that up on the Google Play Store. It's probably one of the best interfaces to any emulator I've tried. I'll cover it in more detail at a later date. In terms of collecting, I've not been up to as much recently. In fact, I'm putting it on hold for a while. But something I did pick up was a lovely SureShot joystick. I've mentioned before that the Acorn Electron was the first machine that introduced me to many hardware items such as joysticks and discs and ROM cartridges. And this was the first joystick that I had on that system. Listen to this. Ah, the lovely sound of micro switches. You just can't beat that sound. For comparison, here's a Zip Stick. No wonder Matt swears by these. Honest, reliable. You really shouldn't be waggling anything else.
Hi, this is Press Play on Tape, and you're listening to the Retro Asylum, the UK's number one retro gaming podcast show.
So as promised, let's move on to the Acorn Electron games that I played in my youth. Now, I'm not saying that these are the best games on the Electron, probably far from it, but I thought it would be great to have a rundown of the games that I remember playing the most. Quite possibly this is just because they were simply the ones I owned at the time, but the fact I kept coming back to them must surely show that as a 10-year-old, they were definitely entertaining, and surely that must mean something. Or is it just rose-tinted glasses? Well, whatever. Let's see if there is someone out there that remembers these games, and if you've never seen or used the system, maybe you'll have played some of these on another system. Or maybe you'll end up inquisitive enough to try them out for yourself. There's a couple of excellent Acorn Electron emulators out there. Firstly, there's Electrem, and secondly, the one I use now, Elculator. Look them up on Google when you get the chance, and let's start the count then. The first game I remembered was Stock Car. Stock Car was released in 1984 by Micropower, and Micropower was a software publisher that released a lot of games for the BBC Micro and Acorn Electron in its lifetime, and they were also based up north, in Leeds in fact. I later found out that the game was also released on the Commodore 64, and having viewed it on YouTube but not yet played it on the Commodore 64, it looks like it might be much harder than the Electron version because it looks incredibly fast. Although you could choose the speed at the beginning, but I don't think the Electron will be able to keep up with the Commodore 64. Anyway, Stock Car was a single screen top-down racing game. A really simple racing game, it has to be said.
there are numerous tracks available to race around, and these consist of a road surrounded by grass onto which you cannot travel. You have the option to set lots of parameters at the beginning of the game, such as the amount of grip the car has on the road, which of course affects the amount of skid around the track, and whether the track has oil slicks or not, again affecting how much you slide around the track as you take the corners. And also you could choose how fast the cars go. There are four cars on the track in total, and there can be one or two players in the game. Rather than increase and decrease the speed with acceleration as you normally would, you have gears which you can choose from, and the speed of the car is just based on the gear that you choose. So in the lowest gear you're moving slowly, and in the highest gear you're moving quickly. A bit quirky, takes a bit of getting used to, but it works. If I was to liken this to any other game I can think of, it would probably be Sprint or Super Sprint by Atari, minus the steering wheel and probably about 80 miles an hour slower. But the graphics are simple and the sound is minimal, but despite the sluggishness, I still loved it and it still holds good memories to this day. And when I was 10, I'm sure I thought I was flying around a stock car track racing at about 120 miles an hour. Ah, yeah, the imagination of the young child. The second game that I remembered was Daredevil Dennis, a game by a software company called Visions. You play the part of Dennis, a stuntman making a debut in a new film, and must play the part of stuntman whilst riding a bike or other vehicles, and you must avoid all obstacles in your way. You get three chances to impress the director of the film by jumping over obstacles or falling through gaps in the road as you go along, and it all sounds like great fun. At the time it certainly was, though it's an early primitive game, as are many on the Electron. As with many Electron games, with the Electron lacking the powerful hardware that would make scrolling easily, it's played on a single screen area. The screen is made up of what are essentially rows of platforms, although you think of these rows as being one continuous road. And when you move across the screen and off to the right hand side, you are wrapped back around again onto the left hand side, but onto the lower platform, or road. And you only get three controls. These controls are accelerate, which as hinted will accelerate you gradually from stopped right up to extremely fast. Jump, which will make you jump into the air and return to the ground as gravity affects you. How fast you are going affecting how long you stay in the air. And stop, which will literally stop you in your path instantly and give you a second to think about whether you're safe to fall or jump over the next obstacle. It's a careful balance of judgment as to how fast you can go to jump over an obstacle that's in your way, as there may be something that is moving above or below you. For instance, you may have a tree directly in your path, but there may also be a helicopter hovering above nearby, and you have to get the speed just right to jump over the tree but not hit the helicopter. It's quite hard to describe, to be fair, and I suggest taking a look at it. A small fact that I can give you is that the developer of the Electron emulator, Electrem, that was Thomas Hart, he built a special mode into his emulator which would enable 256 colour graphics to be inserted into the tape images of the games. When he requested that someone send him some sprites that could use the extra colours, he chose Daredevil Dennis as the test case, and I sent him some sprites in, as did somebody else. He used a mix of the two sets to create a special version of Daredevil Dennis with more colours. Now this is available to download from the Stairway to Hell website. I think this might have been archived now. I'm not sure. I did do a Google search and it did appear in the listings. So the web address was www.stairwaytohell.com. Have a look, see if it's still available, and you may be able to download the copy of that tape and play it in the Electrum emulator. Now, the third game that I remembered was Overdrive. Overdrive is a driving game released in 1984 by Superior Software. The game is viewed and played in a similar vein to Pole Position by Atari. Unfortunately, due to the restricted capabilities of the Acorn Electron, when this game was produced, it was thought that it would never be possible to produce a racetrack on the Electron that featured curved corners, and in this title you race along a road that never really seems to be going anywhere. It's just one long straight road. Yes, I know that sounds a little boring at first, but I used to play this game a lot when I originally owned my Electron. Again, perhaps it's a rose-tinted glasses effect and the overactive imagination of a 10-year-old that filled in the gaps. But the game was actually quite fun at the time, and having recently replayed it, I still enjoyed it, although I probably won't come back to it very often. The sprites of the cars are big and colourful, and everything moves along at an impressive enough speed. As you race along and pass the cars, a bar at the top of the screen will show a count of the cars you have passed, and you must try to finish in the top 12 to progress to the next level. One minor annoyance with the game was that if you crashed your car, you would obviously come to a halt, and you would have to begin to speed up again, which is fine, but the other cars had a nasty habit of quickly catching up and running into the back of you before you got going again, which would lead to the possibility of a chain of successive collisions and no chance of winning the race, and probably quite a lot of swearing. But as you practiced, you crashed less often, so as your skills increased in the game, this became less of an issue. To try to keep the game varied, as there were obviously no corners and hence no shape to the tracks, the scenery would change from level to level. The graphics were nice and colourful on the levels, well, perhaps with the exception of the night scene, which literally would just show lines of the road and nothing else. I remember the ice level was quite difficult because your car slid from left to right after you released the movement keys, and obviously this made it a bit harder to dodge the cars that you were catching up with unless you gauged it just right. Overdrive was actually the only driving game of this type on the Electron until years later, when Superior would release another game that brought about a few changes, and I'll touch on details of that later. Okay, so the fourth game that I remembered was Spectipede. Spectipede was a budget game published by Mastertronic. I love the Mastertronic label. Because of their $1.99 and $2.99 range of software, it made games much more accessible to a youngster who would find it hard to twist a parent's arm to buy them a full price game, which would typically be $9.99 or £14.99 back then. Yes, I know this is a far cry from the £50 and £60 we're looking at now, but these days I guess the amount of effort that goes into producing the game is much more in line with making a film, or possibly even more complex than making some films. Anyway, Spectipede, as you may guess by the name, was a clone of Centipede. I'm sure everyone will know how the game Centipede was played, and therefore how Spectipede works as well. But for the uninitiated, the idea is that you must blast away at a centipede that is descending from the top of the screen, left to right and gradually coming down, and is killed by shooting the segments of its body. You must keep going until you have shot all of the segments of the body to progress onto the next level. In addition to the centipede, there are also mushrooms on the screen which block your blasts from your gun, and as the centipede moves from left to right, it will hit the edge of the screen and descend a little at a time, until it hits an obstacle such as a mushroom first. in which case it descends down the screen more quickly. If it happens to get itself between a vertical column of mushrooms, it will descend towards you at an incredibly quick pace, and should it hit you, you will lose a life. The gameplay is varied more by the addition of a spider that will come onto the screen and rush up and down around the bottom of the playfield where you are situated with your gun. It must be avoided at all costs should you lose a life if it hits you. Other creatures make an appearance from time to time, including worms that wriggle across the screen and can be shot for extra points, or kill you if they hit you. And sometimes insects will descend from the top of the screen and drop a row of mushrooms down the screen to create yet more barriers for the centipede to run into and make it descend more quickly towards you. Personally, I like this game. Again, going back to the time of when I originally owned my Electron. It's simple and effective, the graphics are good enough for this type of earlier arcade game, and you've got a good choice of speeds and even resolution to run the gaming. The lower resolution made it much more frantic, as there was less screen space and so the centipede would descend quicker and you were restricted in your movements. A review of this game on the aconelectron.co.uk website suggests that Bug Blaster by Alligator was a better version of the Centipede clone. But having tried that, I still think the Mastertronic version is better. So if you're going to try playing Spectipede, why don't you also try playing the Alligator version, Bug Blaster, and see what you think. Either way, Spectipede is the version I played when I was younger, and I still prefer it. The fifth game that I remember playing in my youth is Felix Meets the Evil Weevils. Now, Felix Meets the Evil Weevils was published by Micropower and was one of several Felix games, including Felix and the Fruit Monsters and Felix in the Factory. I only owned Felix Meets the Evil Weevils when I had my first Electron, and so that's the game I played in my youth. Obviously, I have since played the others, but this remains my favourite. The idea of the game is that you have to run around a factory, spraying the weevils with pesticide to get rid of them. The way you do this is by running up and down pipes and across conveyor belts to collect the pesticide bottles that will appear periodically around the level, whilst avoiding ball bearings that occasionally come down the conveyor belts too. These won't harm the weevils, but they will harm you. It's basically a platform game, but the idea of making the platforms all conveyor belts, moving in different directions, means sometimes you run onto one platform and move really quickly in the direction you were going, and other times you may need to get to somewhere where the conveyor is moving in the opposite direction, and this will make you move slowly, forcing you to think about whether you will get caught by a weevil taking the route too slowly or too quickly. There is a lever you can pick up that will alter the direction of the belts as well, if you get the chance to pick it up on your travels. Also, to make things more difficult, you have a limited oxygen supply, which you need to keep topping up by picking up oxygen cylinders. Replacing the standard platforms ladders with pipes and platforms with conveyor belts gives the game quite a unique look, even if it's just a simple change. It's quite a hectic game and actually quite difficult, but at the same time still really enjoyable to play, and I'd recommend having a go on this Electron game.
Hello, Mr. Sid here. If you're after some retro gaming goodness, then you have come to the right place. From the Speccy to the Sega Master System, Capcom to Codemasters, and Space Invaders to Space Harrier, it's all covered in the UK's number one retro gaming podcast, The Retro Asylum.
Let's take a break from the main topic and get on with some side news, and the announcement of this month's competition winner. It could be you. First off, as well as our competition, you can also win a Super Nintendo courtesy of ABEEDS C-START. Details of that are available on their Facebook page. And you just need to like and share before the 16th of December. So if you haven't got a Super Nintendo, or maybe you just want the chance of winning yourself a spare as a backup, check out the A Beads C Starts Facebook page, or visit Retro Asylum News and click on the item link. We've been getting some great community involvement recently too, and we currently have a nice review of Cannon Fodder on the website by Danny Major, who goes by the handle of @GuyFawkesRetro on Twitter. If you haven't read the review, please take a look at that. And Press Play on Tape has also written us a great review of the book Commodore, A Company on the Edge, an interesting insight into the inner workings and the trials and tribulations inside Commodore. Another great article waiting for you on the RetroAsylum.com website. Thanks to Press Play on Tape. Also, don't forget that the Slightly Magic Kickstarter campaign needs your support. You don't need the direct campaign link reading out. Just go to kickstarter.com, type in Slightly Magic in the search box, and the campaign will appear. If you can spare anything at all to bring back this classic Spectrum game, please do. And it's time. Right, it's the result of the competition to win a ZX Spectrum. Okay, now I can assure you the winner is always randomly picked, and this winner has been picked out of a list of people who've been applying via Facebook and a few other sources collated by Andy throughout the month. The winner is Pipes Environmental Artist. Now, we think that's Pipe Pew on the forums as well, so Andy will be in touch with you and get your address details so that he can send you that ZX Spectrum off. Now, I'd just like to take a moment to say a few shout-outs to a couple of people as well. One of those is Retro Asylum contributor Aaron White. He's recently sent me some software to enable me to transfer Amiga demos over from my PC to the Amiga via Compact Flash and my PCM CIA card, so I really appreciate that. Thanks for sending that over. And rumour has it that we'll be hearing some of his chiptune music in the Christmas episode. I look forward to hearing those because I'm a big fan of chiptunes. Also, I'd like to say hi to Twitter user Stuart Johns, who has been in touch recently, as he's an Acorn Electron owner. And he's been creating a new text adventure on the machine using the authoring tool, the Quill. Not long ago, we had the brilliant graphical adventure episode by Mr. Sid. So if anyone's missed that, that was an epic episode with community members taking part and giving their memories of their favourite graphical adventures of the day. But some of you may remember also playing Text Adventures, and if you also own a BBC or Electron, you can find his adventure game on the retrosoftware.co.uk website. The game is called The Curious Case of the Missing Victorian, and it's a short Ripper Street inspired Victorian era adventure. I remember playing a few Text Adventures on the Electron, such as Sphinx Adventure and Countdown to Doom, so if you get a chance, check out John's game. Okay, let's finish the Electron Games rundown. Here are the final five for this episode, and let's start with Crazy Rider. Crazy Rider was a bike racing game released by Superior Software in 1987. It's played in a similar vein to Overdrive mentioned earlier, and in fact it was supposed to be a sequel to Overdrive originally, but the decision must have been made to make it stand out from the crowd and use bikes instead. There was one major thing that really made this game stand out, and that was the fact that this game finally introduced the idea of corners into a racing game on the Acorn Electron. Given the speed of the Electron, it was previously thought not to be possible, but the programmer Kevin Edwards, who was also responsible for bringing us the classic Galaforce, used some clever routines that updated the road by only re-rendering the edges and not the entire screen on each refresh. In an interview with Electron User magazine in 1987, he stated that it was quite amazing the amount of animation that he could get going on the Electron, and that anyone who stated the Electron was too slow to write games on was very wrong indeed. The game screen was well presented, with a large set of handlebars shown at the bottom of the screen, and these contained the speed indicator and position in the race. And colour was used to very good effect, as were the sound on the Electron, which, as you will have gathered by now, was severely limited compared to many other computer systems of the time. So a few well thought out sounds were always welcome. There was also a nice map of the course included at the top of the screen, so you could see the corners that were coming up ahead and adjust your speed accordingly. Each race contained 59 computer-controlled bikers, and the idea was to finish in the top 8 to progress to the next level. And to add to the fun, you could move up alongside the other bikers and nudge into them to knock them off as you went past, in a similar vein to Road Rash. At the time, this really was a groundbreaking game when it was released for the Acorn Electron, and a lot of fun to play. So it's definitely worth checking this game out. And next up is a game that I really loved. It's Zalaga by Aardvark. Some of you will remember their name from playing the game Frack. Frack wasn't a game I played back in my youth, but I knew Aardvark published some great games, and Zalaga was no exception. Now the name probably sounds familiar. Zalaga? Galaga? Yes, of course, this was pretty much a clone of Galaga from the arcades, and it was a mighty fine effort at that. Zalaga was a space shoot-'em-up that takes place over a vertical scrolling starfield. Aliens swoop into the screen, and you must fire away as fast as you can to destroy them all, before they get into formation if possible. Should you miss any of the aliens as they swoop into the screen, they will take formation in a very similar fashion to those in Galaxians, whereby they will sit in their formation on screen and some will regularly swoop down and try to shoot or barrage into you. It's a very fast game for the Electron, and the swarms of aliens move along nice smooth paths and rotate well as they swarm at the bottom of the screen trying to hit you. There are some larger aliens that will sit at the top of the formations, and when they swoop down they will sometimes emit a beam. Should they manage to do this, and if you time your shot correctly and shoot the alien, you will end up with your captured ship in play at the same time, giving you double the firepower with two ships at once. It depends on how well you can play like this as to whether you risk letting an alien capture a ship, but it opens up a new way of playing if you do so. After several levels, the game will go through a challenge level with you, whereby a series of swarms will swoop onto the screen one after another, and you get bonus points for shooting as many as you can. It's a fast-action, frantic button-mashing game, and definitely one of my favourites. I've actually reviewed this game before in a video that I did for YouTube, so if I get a chance I'll try and put a link to that on the forums or on the podcast page for this episode. But I did mention in the video that at the time there was a phone number that you could phone up with your high scores. I don't know what the competition was or who won anything from this hotline, but if anyone knows anything about that, then do let us know in the forums, or you can tweet me at Uniforex on Twitter. It would be interesting to know. The next game that I remember is Karate Combat. As you can probably guess from the title of the game, this was a fighting simulation. More specifically, a karate simulation. It's along the same lines of Way of the Exploding Fist, which was also available on the Acorn Electron, although back in the 80s I didn't own that game, and so Karate Combat was my choice when it came to this style of game. I think most people will be split between this and Way of the Exploding Fist. You could also compare this to International Karate. Certainly the sprites are of a very similar style to IK+, but on a more primitive level, obviously, with it being the Acorn Electron. The graphics are nice enough. They're done in what looks like Mode 5 with the default colours yellow, red, white and black. And the main fighting screen features a background with a Buddha-type character sat next to a gong, on which you are shown the number of the round you are fighting in. There's a health bar at the top of the screen, which will slowly deplete if you are hit, and obviously the aim is to knock the computer-controlled player out first, or player one or two, as it was a two-player game also. And you get three chances before you're counted out of the game. Actually, as I've been thinking about it, there was another game of this genre on the Electron that most of you will remember, and it was actually really good on the Electron as well. In fact, it was a really great game, and that's Yi-Ya Kung Fu, published by Imagine. Oh, I love that Imagine logo on the boxes as well, and I love this game. It also came in a nice clamshell case that set it apart from a lot of Electron games. In fact, I played this on the C64 recently as well, but I actually preferred the Electron version. Okay, right, don't all hiss at me at once. It was, you know, the Electron was my computer in the day, and I'm bound to have more fond memories of the machines I originally owned. Next up is Killer Gorilla. Now, this is a very good clone of Donkey Kong, as the name may have given away. Really, I don't think I need to introduce anyone to Donkey Kong, and so I probably don't need to say too much about how Killer Gorilla is played either. The Electron game was written by Adrian Stevens, who apparently wrote it when he was just 17 years old. And for that I have to salute him, because it was hours of fun, and he really must have put great effort into creating the game. As with Donkey Kong, the game can be quite hard, with the barrels rolling down the screen on the first level and fireballs and conveyor belts to deal with on the second level, before being confronted with lifts and huge giant springs on the third. Your controls are a simple left, right and jump, and the game made very good use of colour and sound. There are four levels to the game, and to be honest, I can't remember the fourth level. I'm pretty sure I did loop the game back in the 80s, but I remember that level 3 was always very difficult at the time. And I'm sure I'm never going to make a Steve Wiebe or become a Donkey Kong champion, that's for sure. But if you're on the Electron and you want a Donkey Kong type game, then I can highly recommend Killer Gorilla. Now, the final game that I want to mention, and this definitely is one of my favourites on the system, Chucky Egg. Chucky Egg was released in 1983, so the younger retro gamers out there can be forgiven if they haven't played this, although I'm sure a high majority of listeners will have played it on one system or another. It was originally created by Nigel Alderton on the ZX Spectrum, but the machine I played it on was, of course, the Acorn Electron, and it's responsible for countless hours of lost time in my youth. In fact, it was only recently that I found out that it originated on the Spectrum. I'd always thought that it was an Electron and BBC game, but back then I suppose we just played the games on the systems that we owned, and unless we had friends with the same game on another system, then that's where we thought it belonged. The game is kept very simple in its mechanics, as with all the most addictive games out there. You know, for instance, Super Breadbox, I've been playing that quite a lot the other night, and that's, again, such a simple game, but highly addictive and difficult to put down. In Chucky Egg, you play a character called Henhouse Harry, and the idea is to run along platforms and up and down ladders, jump across gaps and navigate lifts, all with the aim of collecting all the eggs on the level before you run out of time. To stop you in your path are hens that wander the level, and they will try and eat grain on the platforms if you don't get there first. And while you don't have to collect the grain, if you don't, then you are missing out on the points they will give you on collection. All the while, as you are playing away, there is a caged duck at the top of the screen, and after completing the levels the first time around, the surprise was that the duck is released from the cage, and you have to clear all the levels again with the duck chasing you, but without the presence of the hens. The duck homes in on you, and you have to keep trying to lead it off path and run quickly away from it to finish the levels as you collect the eggs. I've made it past the full set of levels and onto the third pass-through where the duck and hens are present, but having looked up some more information on the game since I played it in my youth, I found out there are 5 iterations of the full 8 levels with much more in store, so maybe one day I'll make it that far. There's a big list of systems that Chucky Egg was produced for, including the BBC Micro, ZX Spectrum, Dragon, Commodore 64, MSX, Amstrad, the list goes on. But I've only played it on a few, including the Spectrum, Amstrad and C64. The C64 version of the game is completely different in terms of graphic style against the Electron version. And the game just felt completely different to me, although it was still a great game to play. Whilst the original Spectrum version has a slightly different feel due to missing some physics that were added into the game for release on other platforms such as the BBC, and the sprites on the Spectrum were not quite as chunky as they were on the BBC and Electron version. Although I've played the Amstrad version Revival, and I was really quite impressed with that in comparison to the original version that I played on the Acorn, and it was very similar indeed. I've also recently been informed by Twitter user Dorse Paul that if you had a Fuller Orator speech synthesizer on the Spectrum, then Chucky Egg was the only game he knew of that worked with it, and occasionally it would say "nice leap" when you performed a successful jump. I've not had the pleasure of hearing that, but it sounds like a nice feature. If anyone has any memories of the Fuller Orator add-on, then let's know about those in the forum. It would be nice to hear about, and if anyone actually has one that they can sample, then that would be great to hear. Anyway, regardless of the platform that you played Chucky Egg on, it can only be described as an absolute classic.
Bloody hell, data block error. Let's start again.
I'm sure many of you have experienced that. Well, that brings us to the end of the show, but I did say at the beginning that I would finish off with a little bit of music. Now, I didn't tell him that I was going to put this into the show, but Aaron White sent me a early piece of Amiga mod music that he'd written. It's one of his very first that he produced, and I like it. It reminds me of those early Amiga days when many people were producing tracks that had this early sound to them. So I'm going to play you out with Aaron's track. We'll be hearing some newer stuff from him in the Christmas edition, apparently. So I shall definitely look forward to that, and see you again soon.